Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everyone? It's Michael Scotto, HoopsHype.com's NBA writer and host of the Hoops Hype podcast. On today's episode, my former colleague and good friend James Edwards, who covers the Detroit Pistons for The Athletic, joins me in studio to discuss the futures of Jeremy Grant and Marvin Bagley. We're going to preview Detroit's draft and free agency plan and more. James, I appreciate you coming on the line with me, brother. Great to chat with you as always. How's everything?
Everything's good, Mike. I appreciate you having me on, man. I miss that thick Brooklyn accent. It's been a while since I heard it, but it's good to talk to you and hopefully see you at an arena here soon.
Absolutely, brother. Always enjoyed our time in Vegas at Summer League, and anytime you and the Pistons would come into town, whether it was at the Garden or Barclays, for sure. And speaking of your Pistons, brother, pretty big offseason coming up for them. As we get a little bit of a preview coming up now in the next couple of months. But the other night, Detroit played Portland, and you got Josh Hart and Yusuf Nurkic both posting photos of themselves talking with Jeremy Grant on Twitter. And I kind of got a kick out of that. It was almost like eyes emoji kind of thing at first.
Yeah.
And obviously Portland, given their situation where they're trying to retool, not necessarily rebuild, around Damian Lillard, looking ahead towards next season, they were in the mix to try to trade for Jeremy Grant at the deadline. Obviously, it didn't happen. Both sides couldn't agree to anything. I was curious on two things from your vantage point, being around the Detroit Pistons consistently. One, how close, if at all, were those talks between the Blazers and the Pistons at the deadline on a trade for Jeremy Grant? And two, what do you see for Jeremy Grant's future looking ahead towards next season?
Yeah, no, good questions. The Nurkic and Hart thing was hilarious. I know Hart and Jeremy are from the same area. And I don't know if Nurkic and Jeremy overlap in Denver? I'm not sure. Maybe not, but I know Hart and Grant are from the same area, but it did definitely look like eyes emoji. But in terms of, I know the Blazers, and I reported, I think you did as well, like the Blazers were one of the teams that were most persistent in trying to get Grant. I don't think at the time they had the assets that Weaver was looking for to trade Grant. I think Jeremy is somebody obviously they like. He's a good player. Troy had all the leverage. He doesn't have to trade Jeremy. So I'm sure he set a price. Those teams couldn't meet that price at that time. But Portland is going to find itself in an interesting predicament where, I wouldn't say predicament, but an interesting situation where they could have a high draft pick coming up. They're clearly, they're not, like you said, they're not rebuilding, but they are kind of resetting this season. So you'd anticipate them having somewhat of a high draft pick. That could be bait to go get Jeremy. Maybe if it's high enough, it's an offer that the Pistons can't refuse. But I feel like if Jeremy gets traded anywhere this offseason, it is going to be Portland. Again, some other team can swoop in. You know how the business works, but it feels like Portland is still the front runner. And then in terms of Jeremy's future in Detroit, I think it's interesting. Like I said, they like him. He likes it here. I think where they pick in the draft is going to have some type of impact on what they decide to do. If they end up picking in the top four or five and one of those forwards are right there for them, I think it's possible that you could see Grant moved if the Pistons end up with like a Banchero or a Jabari Smith or Keegan Murray or of course Chet Holmgren. I think it's possible. But then on the other hand, if they pick fifth, sixth, seventh, and it's Ben Mathurin, who's a shooting guard. Cave Cunningham, Ben Mathurin, Sadiq Bey, Jeremy Stewart, Isaiah Stewart. Jeremy Grant, Isaiah Stewart lineup is not bad. It's fun for where you're going in your restoring. So I think it really does depend on where they draft and just which team is willing to maybe overpay a little bit to get Jeremy Grant.
Now, James, to that point, when you talk about overpaying, a lot of times when a trade is going down in the NBA, it comes down to need and whether there's a little bit of desperation there. Now, when I look at Portland's situation, you know, getting Josh Hart, you know, Yusuf Nurkic, I know he's going to be a free agent, but there are enough people around the league that believe Yusuf Nurkic and the Portland Trailblazers are going to work out a deal and he's going to stay there, looking ahead towards next season and beyond. So if you're going along with that line of thinking and you've got Nurkic, you've got Josh Hart, you've got Damian Lillard, a lot of people around the league also believe Anthony Simons is going to remain with the Blazers, and that's why they made a lot of salary cap saving moves to ultimately have more room to re-sign him and also make another move going forward. Jeremy Grant would plug a hole there at the four for them for sure. And I just think that given where they're at in trying to compete with Damian Lillard's timeline, Jeremy Grant is a guy that's in the prime of his career at 28. I think for Detroit, you know, you're looking at a guy that while Cade Cunningham is a bright young prospect and they've got some other pieces there, including, you know, they're going to have a pretty high lottery pick wherever it falls in this draft. It seems like the timelines don't necessarily match there. And some people around the league have always wondered if there was going to be an expiration date. Plus the fact that Jeremy Grant is seeking a max extension if he can get it, which, you know, that's a lot of money, quite frankly. And I don't know if you're the Pistons right now, if it behooves them to do that. Maybe you, you know, look, obviously this is looking further ahead now. But to me, I thought it was just interesting because you've got a guy that's now going into next season. Jeremy's going to be in the final year of his deal. He's going to be making just under $21 million. It's a lot different if you're paying Jeremy that type of money versus paying him in the 30s and above. To me, you know, like Jeremy Grant, when you saw him with the Nuggets, I thought that's the type of role for him if he's going to be on a contender. I think if he goes to Portland, he'd be a little bit more of a higher priority certainly than he was in Denver, but he's not going to be the main guy. I think at that point, he'd probably be the third option behind Anthony Simons if you really think about it. Is that something he would be comfortable with? Certainly, he's enjoyed being the go-to guy. I think all those optics are going to need to be discussed. But if you had a take an educated guess at this point, because a lot can change, like you talked about. I'm not going to hold you to it. You know, you're my boy. You got the draft coming up, and then you got free agency. I mean, do you think Jeremy Grant is going into the season with the Pistons next year? And also, if Troy Weaver, you talked about Troy Weaver's price, right? What do you think it would take for an opposing team to get Jeremy Grant at this point? Obviously, it wasn't enough for Portland to get him at the trade deadline a couple of months ago.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I think a lottery pick would be like the kind of sweetener that would do it. And Portland obviously is heading toward that trajectory. It wasn't all the way clear at that point at the deadline. And like I said, like Troy was in no rush at all. Like I said, they like Jeremy. Jeremy likes Detroit. There was no rush to get something done at the deadline. So you can kind of fall back, see where everything falls, see where the chips lay, and reevaluate in the summer. And I think that's what's going to happen. My gut tells me that Portland really makes a legitimate push and goes and gets Jeremy. I think when you look at it, you said those two things that kind of are the backbone of why trades happen: team need and desperation. And I would say Portland has both of those right now. Jeremy fills a glaring hole on the roster, which has been a glaring hole since pretty much the the Dame Lillard era, a versatile two-way player, and their desperation. There's clearly been a little bit of weirdness in Portland. It seems like it's obviously calmed down a little bit, but you still want to try to build while you have Dame in his prime. Dame and Jeremy are close. I think a lot of the reports were that Dame was a big reason that Jeremy ended up on Team USA. Not that Jeremy wasn't deserving with his play, but guys were pushing for him. So there is a relationship there. And in terms of Jeremy's role, I think he's even done a better job in Detroit, not really trying to be as forceful as a number one option since the deadline. I think he's made a conscious effort to play make a little bit more. There's been a good balance between him, Sadiq, and Cade Cunningham. So I think when he gets to Portland, the stakes are going to be a little bit higher. I still think he's probably nestled into like that 2A, 2B option with Portland. So he does have a higher role than he had in Portland. And they're going to be playing for a little bit more. So I think for Jeremy, it's the situation. Obviously, any NBA player and any person contractually, you want to get as much money as you can. And I think Portland right now seems like it checks the most boxes for Jeremy Grant if there were a trade to happen. And I think if they get a lottery pick and are willing to part with it, I think it checks a lot of boxes for Detroit as well.
I agree with you. I just think, you know, Portland is likely going to have a high lottery pick. I don't know if they go that high. It might be a future pick in that regard, maybe with some protections. I could see from Portland's side, you know, and I agree with you, brother. Like when I'm looking at the landscape of teams that as of today that have, you know, interest in Jeremy, that would have the desperation and the assets to get it done, I would think Portland has a really good shot. You know, the Lakers obviously had interest, but for a lot of reasons, I don't think that appealed to Jeremy in terms of where his fit would be on that team, but also the assets that the Lakers had. You know, for a while they were dangling Talen Horton-Tucker, Kendrick Nunn, and a first round pick. Now, I don't know if having another pick at their disposal going ahead is going to move the needle for that. But I guess something to monitor there. But when you look around, you know, with the rest of at the NBA, you know, Washington had been linked to him as well, but then they went out and got Porzingis. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be an interesting negotiation between Portland and Detroit when it comes to that. But, brother, that's not the only interesting negotiation I'm going to be looking at coming up for the Pistons. Another big man, another forward that they got, Marvin Bagley, is coming up on potentially restricted free agency. Now, do you think that Detroit is going to offer that qualifying offer and make him a restricted free agent, given what we've seen so far? And what, from your standpoint, is Detroit's vision in terms of what they see for him long term?
Yeah, I think there's a wrinkle in the qualifying offer portion. If Marvin doesn't meet starter criteria, which is 41 games started or 2,000 minutes played, I think that qualifying offer is cut in half, to my understanding. So it'd be like 7.1. And I think right now there's no way he could reach that criteria. So I think they're looking at a tender offer of around $7 million, and I think that makes it a little more palpable. Marvin is even before he got to Detroit, all the hoopla because who was drafted after him, all that stuff. Like, he's averaged 14-7 for his career. Like, that's not nothing just to brush under the rug. Obviously, there's questions about his defense. He was in a weird situation in Sacramento, but since he's been into Detroit, you've seen they're using him in the post. They're allowing him to face up. Offensively, he's very gifted. I still think there's something with the shot that could come along with time. He's only 23. It's not like a broken shot. I think the jump shot could come along with time. Defensively still needs a little work, but I don't think $7 million per year for a guy like that is a bad number. Now, what Detroit has to consider is they have a lot of cap space this summer. They can choose to have a lot of cap space next summer. Blake Griffin's contract comes off the book this summer. So, like, do you want to commit 3 years, 21-ish million to Marvin? I think they will. I think it's possible. Maybe they try to go lower, assuming that nobody else nobody else wants to go that high, which is, could be possible. But I do think that Detroit wants to have Marvin here long term. I've talked to him, and he seems, every time he talks about Detroit, he talks about like the future, his future here. He likes it. He's a good locker room guy, nice guy, fits the culture. I think Detroit's plan is to bring him back. In what role? I think right now it seems most likely, just because of his limitations defensively currently. I think he's going to be looked at as probably one of the main two pieces off the bench moving forward.
First off, excellent clarification as far as the qualifying offer. Certainly that affects it dramatically in terms of what they're going to do. I think with Marvin, he certainly had a nice connection with Cade Cunningham so far. And to say he desperately wanted to get out of Sacramento was an understatement. Yeah. Marvin Bagley, you know, made that situation seem like he was in the sunken place. You know what I mean?
and he might have been.
But yeah, I mean, look, since he's been in Detroit, he's putting up about almost 14-7, like you touched on. Defensively, right, there have been questions on him. I think, to your point, yeah. You know, also I think depends on what's going on with Jeremy Grant and where they're at the top of the draft. But certainly it's been a better role for him. I don't think – one of the things with him is when you get drafted ahead of Luka Doncic, yeah, I feel like when he was in Sacramento, he always had that stain on him, on his resume. And that wasn't even his fault. That was the team's decision and the fluctuating role that he had. It wasn't a fit there. I think for him, it's a good restart for his career. And like you touched on, he could be a really high-scoring sixth man off the bench. If he improves his defense, maybe that role changes and he gets a bigger role. But I think certainly when it comes to teams around the league, Detroit had the most interest in trying to get him prior to the deadline this year. And I would assume they would want to keep him more than anybody would want to overpay to get him. So time will tell on that. And you did touch on your interview. If you haven't seen that, check it out on The Athletic. It was a nice chat James had with Marvin. Another guy that Detroit has that I'm looking at long term that I'm a little curious about and I wanted to touch on with you is Killian Hayes, their other former lottery pick. For Killian, he's had to deal with injuries, and now, you know, Cade Cunningham has primarily been a guy that's had the ball in his hands. You know, when you look at Killian's future there, do you see a world where he and Cade Cunningham can really coexist and thrive? Or is this a situation where, even though he's very young still at this point and still a little bit raw as a player and as ultimately a prospect long term, is his future still in Detroit, you think? Or could Detroit look to maybe move him this offseason?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the lingering question right now. I think Killian is in a position where, I mean, he just played, was it last night? Two nights ago, whatever they played last, two nights ago, was just his 82nd game. So a lot of injuries, obviously missed 3 months-ish his rookie year. So he's just played a full NBA season. It's been disjointed. It's tough for anybody, not to make excuses. It's tough for anybody, but he's shown some good things, I think, and I wrote about it yesterday, like how advanced of a passer he is. And he's one of the team's, if not the team's, better on-ball defenders. Like, those are two good baselines, to be able to read the game and to just have the effort and energy to provide something on the defensive end. Not a lot of guys are built like that or to have that instilled in them. There's always the old adage, you can teach a guy to shoot. Of course, we've seen Ason Kidd go from Jason Kidd. There's Lonzo Ball. There's numerous examples. But for Killian and Cade to coexist, Killian has to be able to space the floor. It's just natural. Cade is carries a little bit more gravity. You want the ball in his hands more. So that means Killian's going to have to play off the ball more, and he's going to have to be able to knock down shots. And his shooting, until his shooting improves, I just don't see a world where they play together. He's been coming off the bench for a little bit now, just so He's able to play more of a natural point guard role. He's able to have the ball in his hands more. Him and Cade do play together in the game, certain rotation things, but he's getting a lot of minutes too off the bench as the primary ball handler so that they can highlight his strengths and use him better to his strengths. Because when he was starting with Cade, it just, it's like, you know, he's not a shooter. He's not a floor spacer. He needs to improve his finishing. He has some limitations on that end. So he's young. I don't think Detroit is ready to punt yet. I think it's just because he's 20. I don't think they have an issue with him coming off the bench to try to figure it out. Is there a world this summer where things shake out? Let's say Detroit ends up with they say, hypothetically, they sign Jalen Brunson, and they draft a forward. Like, is it possible? Yeah, like, maybe it's possible if somebody likes Killian enough and would be willing to give up something semi-decent for him. It's certainly possible. I don't think he's untouchable, but I don't know where his value around the league is right now. I would assume not very high. There's more value for Detroit in letting him just kind of figure it out and getting him to develop and working on that shot and seeing how he comes back. Like, I think he'll play summer league next year so they can see where he's at in game reps with his jump shot, how he improved over the summer. At the end of the day, I think that's where his future in Detroit comes down to. Is he going to be able to shoot the ball? Is he going to show significant progress on that end?
See, now you touched on Jalen Brunson and the possibility of him in free agency. That leads me to my next topic. Nice segue there, brother. Have you ever thought about hosting a podcast?
I do. I host a bad one.
Oh, man. Nah, I'm just teasing you. You do a good job. But, bro, like, you just brought up about Jalen Brunson, and I've heard certainly that with Detroit, I've heard different names with them, right? So, and this is the very early stages of free agency, but certainly I have heard Detroit, there are some people in that front office that have an eye for Jalen Brunson, as you touched on. I've also heard there are people in the front office that could see Mitchell Robinson with the New York Knicks, who's an unrestricted free agent, mm-hmm. as a guy that they'd also look at. Now, to me, and DeAndre Ayton's name has been floated out too. Now, my observation and my analysis on this is that I think it's more plausible that the guys like Jalen Brunson and Mitchell Robinson are targets for Detroit because they're going to command less money. Now, DeAndre Ayton, first of all, you would have to give him a full max and try to like add a poison pill in there to get him out of Phoenix going into his free agency. And I think push come to shove, that would be very tough. Whereas with Jalen Brunson, you already saw Dallas. Dallas knows there's going to be a market for him. One of the reasons they got Spencer Dinwiddie was a hedge to cover themselves, depending on what the market bears for Jalen Brunson. And what's interesting is you got the Knicks with Mitchell Robinson entering free agency. They also have an eye for Jalen Brunson with the relationship of Leon Rose. They do need a point guard looking ahead. You know, I know Emmanuel Quickley is there, but it seems more like Emmanuel Quickley to this point is viewed as a guy that's kind of a microwave scorer off the bench.
Yeah.
And Tom Thibodeau likes him coming off the bench in that role. So with that in mind, when you look at free agency for the Pistons, again, we touched on Jalen Brunson, touched on Mitchell Robinson and Ayton. My sense is more the guys like Jalen Brunson and Mitchell Robinson are guys that are on their radar more than a max guy like Ayton. What do you foresee, my friend?
Yeah, no, I agree. I like Ayton. I don't think they're going to go that deep into the well for him. Same kind of with Miles Bridges. He's a guy that's been attached just because naturally from Flint, Michigan. I don't think I like Miles, but like if you end up with a forward in the draft and you have Sadiq there, I just don't see committing that type of money. And then there's Jalen Brunson, who I think would be the perfect fit alongside Cade Cunningham. Secondary ball handler. can be the lead ball handler, shoots the ball well, good defensively, takes the pressure off of Cade. Just think about like a Cade, Brunson, Sadiq, insert possible top seven pick in Isaiah Stewart. That's a pretty fun team. And I know Detroit, they're taking it slow. They're taking their time with this rebuild, but they don't want to be bad forever. I think they want to turn a corner. Last time we talked to Weaver on the record, he mentioned they're still in talent accumulation mode, and Jalen Brunson is definitely part of accumulating talent. I think he just would be a great fit for Detroit. Whether he wants a bigger role, I think New York could maybe give him that in terms of just being more of the guy, being more in the spotlight. But he doesn't necessarily strike me. I don't know him, but he doesn't necessarily strike me as like that's I want to play in New York. I want to play in the Garden. I believe Arn Tellem repped his dad, if I'm not mistaken. I know they're all from the PA area.
Leon Rose repped Rick Brunson.
Oh, is that right? Okay, so there might be a relationship there. I think they're all from that's right, you're right. They're all from the Philly area. So I'm sure there's a connection there in some regard. I think if Detroit is going to choose to use its cap space this offseason, I think Jalen Brunson just makes the most sense from a roster construction standpoint. Like him and Cade together, I think that would be a very interesting backcourt.
It'd be even more interesting if Rick Brunson ends up joining the Knicks as an assistant coach. You know, I know he and Tom Thibodeau certainly have some ties, and with Kenny Payne leaving and going to Louisville opens up a spot for the possibility at least. And, you know, speaking of college, you were talking about it earlier, Jeremy Grant's future could depend on what happens with Detroit's draft pick. Certainly when you look at the top of the draft, I think there's really four guys that kind of stand out, you know, in no particular order. You know, you've got Chet Holmgren, you've got Jabari Smith, you've got Paolo Banchero, and you've got Jaden Ivey. Now, when you look at it from Detroit's perspective and knowing Troy Reaver's history with Oklahoma City and now with Detroit, do you have a gauge on, let's just say all those guys are available, how you would rank those four from Detroit's perspective and where they would go in the draft if all are available and on the board?
Yeah, I think Chet would go number one. I think defensively, just the potential there is the sky's the limit. I think he has raw offensive tools that could really develop into something. I think he's would be the pick at number one. Now after that, it gets a little interesting because I think they obviously like Jabari Smith. They like Paolo Banchero. To my knowledge, they really like Keegan Murray from Iowa. I think they really like Ben Mathurin from Arizona, who's had a really good tournament and really good end of the season. My gut tells me at two, it could be Jabari. Paolo, I think, is a better passer, more physically gifted, I think better at putting the ball in the freezer, a better playmaker, has a little bit of ways to go defensively. The shot's not broken, but it's got some work to do. I like Jabari, great shooter. I worry about his playmaking once he puts the ball on the floor. I think he has solid defensive instinct. So this draft, I know it's not last year's draft, but each kind of top prospect has some significant holes that could cause some pause. Obviously, the thing with Chet, I know people are tired of talking about it, but the size is the thing. He's very frail, so that's something people will consider. There's Paolo, who's not the best defensively. The shot needs some work. Jabari, you worry about his playmaking. Keegan Murray, not the quickest of feet, not the most athletic, but can really put the ball in the hoop and is physical, has a good IQ. Ben Mathurin, maybe not star potential, but ability to shoot the ball. I think he's an underrated passer. Could be solid defensively. And then Jaden Ivey, explosive athlete, not the greatest playmaker. Needs a little work defensively. So there's holes all around. I think if I had to rank it, I would go Chet, Jabari, Murray, Banchero, Mathurin, Ivy. If I just based on talking to people around the league and just checking temperatures every now and then.
Interesting ranking there.
And I could be way off, but that's just the sense I get.
Hey, but I still think it's interesting nonetheless.
Because,
you know, despite, we've seen it before, brother, just because you've got a really bad record and you could have one of those top picks with the way the new lottery system is now, they could slip. Hopefully for Detroit, that doesn't happen as they try to continue to spur and hasten that rebuild going forward. But, you know, time will tell on that. Well, brother, I certainly appreciate you hopping on the line. A lot to look forward to with the Pistons in terms of what potential moves they can make. So, folks, obviously a lot of good coverage from James Edwards to look forward to from The Athletic too. That's why I brought him on. Go read him. He's pretty good at what he does. And he's a good person too. I think he's actually a better person, I think, than he is a writer. And I think he's a pretty good writer. So that's where I'm at on him. That's my scouting report on him.
I appreciate you, brother. I'm tearing up over here. Hopefully, I'll be in Brooklyn next week. Hopefully we can meet up.
Looking forward to that for sure, my man. But certainly appreciate you coming on, and I look forward to seeing what Detroit can do and your coverage going forward. Also want to thank everybody else for tuning in. If you want to hear more episodes of the Hoopside Podcast with guest appearances from NBA players, coaches, executives, and media members such as James Edwards, you can like and subscribe to it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. You can keep up with my tweets on Twitter, at Mike A. Scotto. Make sure you're following James too. He's at JL Edwards the third. Until next time, I'm your host, Michael Scotto, wishing you and yours all the best.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.